Welcome to Marketing Like a Mother, a podcast made for mumpreneurs by mumpreneurs. Each week, we're diving into mum-approved business and marketing strategies to help you grow a profitable and family-friendly business. Today, I'm your host, Michelle Pourvert, and I'm chatting with the wonderful Laura Wilson, who I have known for a while, but have actually only gotten the chance to chat properly with her recently and immediately thought she needed to come on the podcast. Laura is a business mentor, coach, course creator, just an amazing like educator, I think of, around all things health and life coaching. So Laura, why don't you do a proper intro? Because I'm sure you've got even more bows to your arrow, and then we can dive in and ask all the fun, juicy questions.
Oh, well, thank you very much for that lovely, for that lovely introduction. So yeah, just like you were saying, so I help health and life coaches grow their businesses. So not super niche, actually quite broad, but that's probably another conversation to be had. But I help health and life coaches grow their businesses in lots of different ways. I tend to have a bit of an interest in non-social media marketing because I'm not the biggest fan of social media, and I originally built my business using my blog. So that's always been something that's, I've always been a blogger for ever since I started. So I'm really, really passionate about that. And really the whole reason I started my business was around having more flexibility around my kids. So that's always been part of the way that I work as well, as around how I can help others show up for their health and life coaching businesses, but without the pressure of, I think there's a lot of stuff in the online space around having to hit six figures or seven figures to be successful. And actually, I think what most of us actually want is just a business that works around our life and that gives us the money to do what we want to do with it. So that's a big part of what I do as well.
I mean, I'm sure everyone listening is like, yes, that makes perfect sense. Why Michelle is very excited to talk to Laura. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about that kind of beginning piece. You mentioned that you wanted to build this business around your family. What did it look like before? And like, what was that sort of starting phase like?
Yeah, so I originally started blogging. So without even dreaming that it could be a business, I started blogging about health and wellness because I was on my own health and wellness journey. And as part of that, I became aware of health coaching as a thing. And it was very new. This is talking like 2012. So, ages ago, a long, long, long time ago. And I decided to train as a health coach. And I was working in the voluntary sector, so the charities third sector space in the UK. And while I enjoyed my job, I knew it was never going to give us the flexibility around having a family that I wanted. And I knew that I wanted to have a family. I always knew that I wanted to have kids. And so it kind of started to form in my mind that coaching and running my own business could be a possibility. And I had lots of really good examples at the time. Like my manager at work, she was kind of like had a side hustle, and it was really positive. So I could kind of see how this could work. And I decided to take the leap and invest in health coach, which at the time was a really, really big investment for me to make, and decided to train as a health coach. And then right about the time that I graduated, I found out that I was pregnant with my little boy. So it kind of worked out really, really well. And I was also going to be made redundant for my role as well. So it kind of all the timing kind of lined up really, really positively, although it was obviously a bit scary kind of hearing that your job wasn't going to exist. But the way that the funding is in the charity sector, like you just never, I knew it was a fixed term contract, but so the time and everything kind of worked out. But also it was kind of a bit weird because I was going to have this small child, but as it happens, everything worked out really, really well. And I was able to basically like grow my coaching business right alongside being pregnant and then having my little boy. And so right from the get-go, it was something that enabled me to make an income and still have flexibility and still work around my son at the time. So it was just really, it was a bit of a baptism of fire, I would say. there wasn't a lot of people at the time. It was health coaching wasn't what it is today in terms of the number of health and life coaches. It was still really new. So in some ways that was good because there wasn't a lot of other people doing it, but in other ways there was no one else telling you how to do this. So everything you were doing, it was like, is this right? Like, is this the right way to do things? Is, you know, and everything was an experiment. And I think my business has been very experimental over the years. So that's kind of how I started.
Well, now you've mentioned experimenting, which is one of my other favorite topics. Let's dive into that. I'm curious, you mentioned like starting it all was experimental, but from the outside, I can see a lot of the things you're still doing feel very experimental. How has that kind of played a role in the business you've grown and how you've made the decisions you've kind of made along the way?
I think there's been a few different reasons. I think it's just kind of the way that I am, is that I'm quite quite creative and a bit all over the place, and hopefully in the best possible way. So I like trying new things and doing new things, but I also think there's an element of necessity, and this is something I've really started to I was going to say grapple with or come to grips with. I don't know quite which one it is, but like I'm the main breadwinner in our family, and this business, like, you know, I mean, I would quite happily go back and get a job if that's what it would take, but, you know, I want this business to work. And I think part of that has been, you know, trying new things, bolting things together, you know, and part of the reason why now I mentor health and life coaches and business coach them and support them in that way is because kind of when I was health coaching, and I'm also like, just to again kind of slightly go off, but my going way back, my degree at university was in art and design, so I've got that side of things as well. So I started off doing websites for other health and life coaches because I was doing my own and it was really good fun, and I thought, hey, let's offer that, that's another stream of income, you know, that's all good. So I started kind of experimenting off in that way, and then from there it just kind of, you know, spiraled from there. So, you know, I started doing, you know, group program in my health coaching business, and then I did like a membership, and at one point I had an imprint magazine as well. That was doing, so I was doing all these kind of really experimental different things. I've run retreats before, and it just kind of, I think part of it has been because that's just how I am and I like trying new things, but also because I think to stay, I don't necessarily think this is the truth, but I think it is for me in terms of having like this kind of multi offer, kind of like multi, there's a really wonderful author called Emma Gannon, and she has a book called The Multi-Hyphen Method, in terms of, you know, it's okay to have like this kind of portfolio style career where you do lots of different things that don't necessarily have to be like perfectly streamlined. And I think that's probably part of the way that I am, is that it's never been in a neat little box.
And that's, I think that's really relatable.
So I've done all sorts of different things, partly because I want to do that and I'm creative, but also partly because I feel like in order to make money that I've needed to experiment and try different things. I've wanted to have that security of having different income streams, and it's just made sense the way that my life and business has developed.
Yeah, and I think it's a really great kind of, I don't know, habit to build as you're building a business, is to not just stick with one thing even if it's not working, but to really take the temperature of your business as it goes and adapt and shift as the market changes, as your life changes, as things happen. I think that's a really smart way to be creative and not let your business sort of struggle when maybe the path you happened to go down the first time, like you mentioned, maybe going down the website path for you could have been fun, but maybe actually didn't suit or didn't fit, and making that shift has led to all these other amazing things. So
exactly, yeah, it's always taking you somewhere, and I think just the nature of business these days is that it is shifting and changing, and what works mm-hmm. 1 year isn't going to work the next year necessarily. You know, at one point, you know, a decent chunk of my income was through basically being like a, what we would now call a health and wellness influencer on Instagram, but through my blog. So at one point that was a big source of income, was that I was getting paid to do what now a lot of people do on Instagram. And then that obviously shifted and changed, and I didn't really want to do that anymore. And, you know, so there's always that change element, which I think for some people is difficult. Sometimes it's really invigorating and it feels really exciting. Other times I'm like, can I get off the roller coaster now? It feels like, you know, but I think that's part of business, and it can be a real strength and it can be a real positive thing as well.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you've been doing this pretty much mostly, if not entirely, off of social media. So there's even that you're doing things a little bit differently, because it does feel like it's almost obligatory these days. Yes. So I think it would be really fun for us to chat around that, because I've very strongly been flirting the last 2 years with quitting social media, not quite fully taking my foot off that pedal yet, but I think it's something a lot of us feel like we have to do mm-hmm. and not necessarily that we want to or that we're particularly good at. Yeah. And especially when you're working with life coaches and you know, people who aren't necessarily here to become influencers. I'm really curious what your perspective is on building a business intentionally off of social media.
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible. I think that the idea is that you have to have it isn't the truth at all. And I think there's lots of people who run really successful businesses off social media. And I think particularly for health and life coaches, because, you know, we know that social media isn't really healthy for people in many, many ways. I mean, social media is amazing for lots of different things. There's lots of opportunities available. There's lots of positive connections can be made on social media. However, that has got to be balanced with the fact that there's some serious issues mm-hmm. with social media. And I think for a lot of my clients who are health and life coaches, there's this conflict in them in terms of how do I grow a business on social media when I know that actually, like, I'm talking about people about, you know, living their best lives and, you know, improving their health and well-being, and it just feels misaligned. So for me, having, you know, dabbled a little bit with Instagram, have a little bit of a presence on Facebook, the main consistent thing I do on social media is Instagram stories, and just very, very casually, because I feel that that's easy, and that's fine. But that's all I really do on social media, and everything else comes through what I call search-based platforms. So basically my blog, which is searchable through SEO and Google, and then YouTube and Pinterest, and I also have a podcast as well, which you are very recently on. So for me, that the benefits of that are totally, like, for me personally, I think it's a no-brainer. But then that's from my perspective, because, you know, I've got blog content from like 2018 that is still bringing me new subscribers to my email list every single week, almost every single day, to be honest. And that's a blog that I wrote like how many years ago, like 6 years ago, that's still working really, really hard for me. Whereas you wouldn't find that with Instagram, with like a post that you've spent time, or even several posts that you've spent time on Instagram would not be converting in that way in terms of bringing people back into your email list and or bringing new clients and things. So while it's not like a perfect, you know, it's not a perfect system, it's not a perfect art, and there's still a game to be played. I think this is the thing, you know, there's wherever we are getting in front of people via other places, you know, there is algorithms, there is mm-hmm. things that we have to do. But it's which game do you want to play is what I usually say to people is, you know, which game feels the best for you to play? Because for me, I'd much rather play the SEO, Pinterest, you know, YouTube game than the Instagram game. That's the game that I like to play, but there's still a game to be played to get to have, you know, to have some success in it.
I think that's really helpful to hear that honest kind of perspective, because it does feel like there's this, oh, it's so easy to show up here or there or wherever. And everything takes time, everything takes effort, everything takes energy. So it's kind of like, which hard do you want?
You know, I always think, and this definitely shows my age, but people might remember Jillian Michaels, you know, and mm-hmm. I used to do her workout videos, like, and this is back kind of like the 2012 kind of time. And she used to say, choose your hard, like, it's hard to be like this, and it's also hard to do this. And I always think of her shouting that, like, you've got to, like, nothing's, we want to believe, and because a lot of people sell mm-hmm. the impression that something is a quick fix, and we want to believe that it is, but having been around the block several times, there's no immediate quick fixes. Like, there's lots of different things you can try out, and there's pros and cons to each of those different things, but there's always an element of strategy, or, you know, figuring something out that is not immediately going to be super duper easy. There's always an element of that is tricky. So it's just worth bearing in mind that you're not the problem if something feels hard.
I think that's so helpful to hear. Like, we aren't the problem 99.9% of the time. So let's talk about these other kinds of strategies that are off social media. You mentioned YouTubing, your blog, and Pinterest. I'm curious now, with, you know, years of having those kind of strategies under your belt, where would you recommend our listeners maybe explore starting on a longer term search-based platform? And what maybe are some little tips to get them going so they're off on the right direction?
Yeah, so I think a great place to start is with the blog on your own website. And there's a few reasons for that. Most people find, and this is just generally speaking, but most people find writing content a lot easier than creating audio or video content, especially if they're, and then this is a massive generalization, but I tend to find that a lot of people who don't like social media are a little bit more introverted, a little bit more, you know, heart-centered. And this is not to say that people who are on social media are not, but I feel like there's a little bit of a trend, shall we say. So I find that most people would find blogging and just getting started with writing is the easiest thing. And I like to say to people, instead of thinking, right, I'm going to start blogging and therefore I need to have these optimized keywords for SEO and I need to have this in place and this in place, just start. Just start by writing. Like, even if you think it's rubbish, just start, because without that start, you don't get to the point where it gets effective and good. You have to just start and layer on the strategy. So, you know, if you just start off by writing and then you get comfortable writing a blog post every couple of weeks, and then maybe you write it every week, and then perhaps you start looking at keywords and actually writing some blog posts to address those keywords, and then maybe you start to optimize your posts a bit more, and then maybe you start to, you know, get some guest posts, and so you get some backlinks, and you can just layer that in. You don't have to do it all at once at the start, because that's where you get overwhelmed. So while I've been doing, you know, I've got like a multi-channel show, I call it, which is basically my blog, my podcast, and my YouTube channel are all kind of one piece of content technically. But there's still things that, like, I get emails every single week from people saying, your YouTube is doing terrible with SEO and things like that, because I haven't yet gotten to the point of optimizing it as well as I could. Mm. But I would never have started it. I would just never started it if I worried about all of that back when I started it. So that is something that's on my list. But a great place to start is just to begin with blogging. That's a really, really good place to get going with. And then once you've got blogging kind of working, Pinterest is then a really easy, natural next step, because, you know, I always say blogging and Pinterest are like best friends. Although the way that Pinterest works has shifted over the last few years in terms of it has embraced more kind of video and, you know, the whole kind of short form video style things, the core of it is still pins that lead back to blog posts. You know, pretty much. So it makes sense to kind of link that in. And then once you've got to that point, if you want to explore video and things, then there's lots of opportunities with YouTube.
Yeah, and I think that's a really smart thing. If you are sort of slowly layering on different strategies, you bring with you the knowledge and experience from the first platforms mm-hmm. you started with. So the blogging, you've learned about, you know, structuring content and writing good headings and keeping it kind of catchy and engaging, and that knowledge and experience will translate into Pinterest, which will translate into YouTube, which will translate anywhere else. I think you're right, it's like building the muscles, if we come back to your health coaching example.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
You just gotta build up the muscles and the muscle memory.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, you wouldn't go into the gym and expect to walk out looking like Gal Gadot, would you? You know, it's going to take some time. You know, it's going to take some time. So it's just helpful, I think, to have those realistic expectations at the start, and because it's really easy to get overwhelmed with anything, and especially if you are a mum and you do have lots of other things going on in your life, and your business has to fit in around that, because let's face it, like, the other stuff isn't going to fit in around your business. Like, your business has got to fit in around that. You know, that's just the way it is. Then I think we've got to be gentle with ourselves a little bit as well, and have realistic expectations about how our businesses can grow and develop. But
yeah, I think that's really good. And that ties into my kind of question I always try and weave in somewhere, which is, I'd love to hear what your version of having a family and a business together looks like. How have you, you know, managed the two things? Have you juggled the life and work kind of equation? Because I think we all approach it differently.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I basically work around about roughly 20 hours a week. So I tend to, and it's shifted as my children. So I've got two children now. I have my little boy who's 9 and my daughter who's 4. And it's kind of shifted around as I've added another one into the mix as well. So I've always kind of just worked around their childcare, basically. And I've been lucky enough to have access to childcare from my son being around about 6 months. And then, so I had like 3 days a week solid to work. So it's always been around about 3 kind of full days, or at the moment I do kind of 9 till 2:30 roughly, around my daughter's nursery hours, and then she starts school. So it's very much, I mean, I learned quite early on, and there is some hilarious photographs that my son took of me in the middle of the pandemic with my daughter like in a sling. Aww. And she was only like 6 months old, and I'm sat on the computer, you know, trying to keep things afloat and keep things, you know, moving. But I learned quite early on to not try and multitask when the when I've got kids like right there, it's like really, really difficult to do that. So I'm either in or like on or off work wise. That's the way that I found it for me. I know some people can, and I think it's to do with the temperament of your kids as well. Whereas like my daughter was smashing my laptop and wanting to be pressing buttons and things. So that's how it's always looked for me, is that it basically lets me be there for dropping the kids off, for picking them up, up until like I think it was September. So up until September, I had Fridays off with my daughter as well. So it's always just been really, really flexible around them. And, you know, I take all the school holidays off as well. So here in the UK, we've got like, you know, the Easter holidays coming up like 2 weeks, and I'll work maybe a couple of hours over those, but I take off the full holiday. So it just means that I get to be around and available for them. And, you know, that's really, for me, that's really wonderful that I get to do that. And I've got the opportunity to do that. I'm also on the PTA, so I'm on a parent teacher association. So I'm actually on two of them. So again, that's another thing that it kind of just makes me feel like I'm making a difference. And it's nice that I've got the time to do that, because I wouldn't have if I was doing, I don't think I would have the time to do that if I had to do something else. So that's kind of how it all mixes in, is the business has its own little windows of time, and I try not to mix them too much if I can manage it, because that usually leads to frustration.
Yeah, I think that's tough. I'm not a good mixer either. Neither myself or my son really have it in us to do both. But it sounds like that's also very deliberately how you've designed the business. The types of offers you have allow you to do that. I know a lot of people start with done for you services, which is sort of my journey, and it became so apparent so quickly that just wasn't going to work that well with the type of life situation we have. Because I know you have kind of courses and some coaching and kind of the mix of two. I'd love if we can spend the last couple of minutes just talking about how you've made the coaching piece of the business work around this kind of schedule where you are off for several weeks and you have sort of limited hours.
So to be fair, I'm actually next week I've kind of blocked out the full next week to review everything, because and again, just in the like in the to be totally honest, I think I've realized that I've hit a bit of a barrier or a bit of a brick wall in terms of what things are looking like and what's working, which has just kind of happened. But in terms of of how the coaching works. So the first way that I approach it is I always have client-free days and meeting-free days built in, because I've noticed that for me, I need big expanses of time to really like tackle things, like big things. I just need, and also for my own mental well-being, really, I just need these big expanses of time. So I have only have 2 days that I see clients on. And then when it's over the holidays and things like that, I think it's communicating really, really clearly to people in advance when that's going to be. And that wasn't something I was always really good at doing. And then I kind of panicked that people were, you know, worrying that they weren't getting to see me and things like that. So there's always like that communication. And then generally speaking, over the longer summer holidays, I do tend to have like almost like kind of checking in days in the business. So I will have like days here and there when I will see people, but Voxer support and kind of that asynchronous, you know, voice note support is a big thing that I lean on in those periods of time, so that people still feel supported. They still have that access to me and I can still help them move forward, but without having to be sat at a computer. So that works really, really well. And then in terms of how I like respond to Voxer, so I have notifications switched off and I'll sit down and check, so I'm not just getting like notifications on my phone when I'm doing going about my day, because I did have that at the start and I found that extremely stressful. I was getting these notifications, so that I have like set times in the day. So it would be before they wake up, I would maybe check messages and respond to them, or after they've gone to bed, I would check messages and respond to clients. So that's something that's worked really well in terms of managing people moving forward. And I always have it written in like my terms and conditions and program agreement, is that I'm a mum. I actually have it like stated. I think I have like, you know, I'm a mum. For the most part, I'm a one woman show. Things are going to happen. Like kids are going to get sick. I'm going to have holidays off. Like this is stuff that's going to happen. You need to be aware that that's the case. And I think we should be, a lot of us kind of feel afraid to show up in our businesses as an actual human with a life. Like, we're not robots. And I think if we're actually really honest about that with our clients at the start, that they can give us that little bit of grace, you know, just as we would give it to them. So my view is that I'm trying to be as flexible as I can with people, hoping that they will be as flexible with me. And so far, I've never had any issues with anyone. So that's been really, really, really positive. I think it's that communication around things really, really helps.
Yeah, I mean, communication is key. If you don't communicate, nobody knows what, like, boundaries we have, what we're dealing with. And I love that phrase from your terms and conditions. Like, everyone listening, write that down. That is excellent. And I think having those things really clearly laid out, included in, like, your sales process and your onboarding process, is just kind of setting the scene for how it's going to go. And I, like, Olivia and I always kind of joke that my love language is boundaries. And I think it's because if you don't clearly articulate what's okay and what's not, when you're working, when you're not, how you work, how you're not, no one would know. Right. And I really see it as a kind of kindness to be clear and articulate ahead of time what's okay, what's not, what's possible, how this is going to work. And as they quote-unquote host of your service, host of your programs, it's your job to set the scene. So I think you're doing that beautifully.
Thank you very much. Yes, and I know we chatted a little bit about that on my podcast, didn't we, as well? Mm-hmm. Came up, but I think it's such an important point when you're running a business, because, you know, for a long time I just got really, really stressed about the I felt like there was an expectation, even just little things like an expectation to respond to emails immediately, an expectation to respond to Voxers immediately, things like that. And actually, I don't think anyone really would expect me to do that, but there was the lack of the communication of that boundary made me feel like it was there. So I found now that just having really crystal clear explanations of when I'm available, when I'm not, and actually, you know, knowing that you are modeling that in a really positive way for other people, that allows them to do the same in their business, I think that's really important.
Yeah, I think that's just the thing we need to spread across all businesses, all of, like, I don't know, interactions in life. Like, it's okay to say what's okay and not. And the more we see it done, the more it feels normal, the more that we feel empowered to do it. So we'll start, Laura and I will do it. And hopefully everyone listening will keep kind of modeling it. Well, Laura, I feel like we could keep talking for ages. I am so glad that you finally came on. And before we go, I would love to have you share where people can learn more from you. I know you have a really lovely freebie to share with us. Basically, tell us how people can keep hanging out with you, because you're awesome.
Thank you. So yes, so if you come over to wholeheartedlylaura.com, that's the best place, and that's everything is there. So you can find out about my podcast, the Wholehearted Business Show, and the YouTube channel that goes with it. I blog every week as well as part of that show. It's all, like, the same, like I said, the same thing. So if you prefer to read, you can read it, or you can watch it or listen to it. That's absolutely fine. So go and check that out. And then for a freebie, if you head, probably the best place to go is my everything page, because there's a list of all sorts of different freebies there that will hopefully, you know, meet a need that you might have in your business. So that's wholeheartedlylaura.com/everything-page, and you'll find a whole list of all the things that I've got.
I love it. Well, please do go check it out. And I think, as someone who's been on her podcast, as someone who has consumed a lot of her content, there's really great stuff that I think, yes, it's obviously you're working with life and health coaches, but I think just for general business, you actually have quite a lot of good resources for us too. Well, thank you so much, Laura, and thank you, listeners, for joining us this week on Marketing Like a Mother. If you found value in the show today and want to support some fellow mompreneurs, we really appreciate a rating and telling a business friend about the show. We're going to be back next week with more marketing tips for busy mums with businesses. And until then, take care.